Ik snap dat je je podcast wil luisteren, dus ik zal het kort houden. Want als jij het belangrijk vindt om duurzame keuzes te maken, kan ASR misschien helpen. Nou hoor ik je denken, hoe dan? Nou, bijvoorbeeld bij het duurzaam herstellen van schade. Of de premies die we beleggen volgens ons duurzaam beleggingsbeleid. Dat bepaalt waar we wel en juist niet in investeren. Wil je meer weten over welke duurzame keuzes ASR maakt? Ga dan naar asr.nl/duurzamekeuzes. ASR doet het. Zo, dan kan je nu lekker naar je podcast luisteren.
Vechtersbazen wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door Unibet.
It's time for Vechtersbazen!
De Vechtersbazen zijn terug in je leven. Terug op je beeldscherm of op je oren, hoe je deze podcast ook tot je neemt. Je weet, we zijn er elke week met de beste verhalen van je favoriete vechters van nu, heden, verleden of toekomst. Legends, coaches, weet je, ze komen allemaal voorbij. En de man die hier vandaag zit, ik ben heel blij dat hij hier is. In een speciale extra aflevering van de Vechtersbazen. Is echt een legend. We gaan zoveel verder in het Engels. Glover Teixeira, former UFC champion. You understand any of what I just said?
Oh, no. Say Glover Teixeira, though.
Yeah, you understand that, right? Glover, I'm very happy you're here in Amsterdam. You're here for a seminar at the Gym Royale, and you're coaching Usri at the LFL. But most of all, I just want to talk about you, man, because it's been just about a year now since you hang up the gloves. You quit professional fighting. Yeah. Well, I ask you, do you miss it at all?
I miss the competitions of the getting ready. The, like I'll see Usri yesterday. You know, Sheldon Box and getting ready and cut the last few pounds for the fight and like, man, it's like it's like getting back and like you can see his eyes, you can see his body, he's like the way he moves and it's like he's ready to go and I miss that time to, you know, the focus that you go whatever, you know, 12 o'clock at night, like sometimes, you know, different country you go like, hey, what time is the train? Oh, we're going to train at 1 a.m. today, you know?
Yeah.
Because the time difference. So just this kind of things I miss, you know, because you just, it's a work, you know? And it's like 1 a.m. because if you think about it, it's like, oh, we're going to Singapore, you know, we're going to whatever, you know? And 1 a.m, you're going to Singapore, you're going to train at 1 a.m. What are you going to do there? We're going to Sweden, you know, Europe, you're going to work out like, 12 o'clock at night. So, yeah, because it's a job, you know, getting ready, get ready for that competition. Yeah, I miss that part of and being in the fight week. I miss that. But to be honest, like also fighting itself.
Also some things you don't miss, I imagine.
The camps, the long camps is definitely like was getting too much on myself, on my body. And I was like, man, I think I burned out a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm happy. I retired. I'm enjoying my life right now with, you know, pass it on, being coach and find out more being coach. The more I'm coach, in the beginning, I didn't think I was going to like it that much. I was like, but now I kind of feel like I'm in this guy's corner, you know, and I'm here and I'm starting with him. It's not about, it's a responsibility, but hey, man, I'm not trying to tell anybody I'm the best coach and just, it's like, I'm going to do my best. That's all I can do. You know, like me with Alex right now, big fights coming up. I just do my very best with him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you've done something that a lot of fighters can do, right? Because you stepped out when you were still on top. You were in a title fight. You didn't win a title fight, but you were in a title fight. You're still on top. And after that, you retire. And a lot of fighters that don't know the right moment because it's difficult, right? Because you always think the next fight is going to be better and better. And a lot of fighters miss that point. I think they go on a little bit too long.
Yeah.
But for you, it's the most remarkable story because you were like the oldest first-time UFC champion in history. So that by itself is already remarkable. But getting out at this moment, I think that it takes courage and perseverance to maintain that. How do you feel about that?
I think it was, to be honest, like I say, when Alex come, I was going to fight Thiago Santos and I was already like in emotion, like, you know, 40, 41, you know, when I fought for the title, 42 years old, and it was just like, for me, it was a blessing, you know. When I signed with UFC, it takes me a long time to sign with UFC. I was 32, and for me, it was like, hey, man, see, it takes me a while to get here, but I'm here. Mm. And if I'm in UFC until I'm 40, you know, that's it. I'd be a happy man. Because I still got 8 years, because people say, oh, you lose some time in your prime to be in UFC. But I say, I still got 8 years, right? So if I fight, but then I was there for 43, right? So I was more than enough. And then I fought the title, you know, 42. But when he come for Thiago, that's when I was like thinking like, yeah, man, a couple more fights, you know, I'm going to fight for the title. That's what I want, you know, in my mind is like, you know, I'm going to fight for the title. I'm going to defend it 2 times and I'm probably done, man.
Yeah.
And I did 2 fights. I did, you know, I fought for the title and I didn't defend the belt, but I fought for the belt again, 2 more fights, trying to defend the one and fight again, the rematch supposed to be. But, yeah, I was like, you know what, man, I was not enjoying the camp anymore.
No.
You know, getting too old in the body, man, was breaking me down, hurt my body every time, you know, and it's like, I'm good, man.
Yeah.
I live simple. I get my set life. I don't have a big mansion, but, you know, also I don't have to just go crazy, struggle so much and fight. I just live simple.
You're set.
Set, yeah.
Set for life. Good.
Thank you.
I understand. Big name like you, after you retire from the UFC, probably you get a lot of offers like from Bare Knuckle or other organizations. How hard is it? Probably throw big money at you. I mean, I can understand that it's tempting, right? If you can maybe go into Bare Knuckle, I don't know if it's for you, but going to Bare Knuckle, make $1 million or whatever.
Yeah, I never, it's been an offer there, but like it's not. It's like for me to come back, it's got to be worth it. You know, it's got to be worth it. It's got to be like if I fight, it's got to be big fights and stuff like that and big money. And I'm not the guy that put it out there that I wanted to come back. So it's been talk about it, but nothing crazy, nothing somebody come to me and say you offer. But it's been talk about like, hey, man, if you ever want to fight this guy, mm-hmm. let me know. It's been like just talking like that, you know.
Yeah.
But they respect my retirement. Nobody's kind of like pushing or offering this much or that much. No.
What would it take for you if they come and like say, I give you $10 million? Would you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, 10 million would be good.
10 million, yeah.
That's it.
1 million?
No, it depends. You know, depends on the fight, right?
Yeah.
It's like depends who I fight. Mm-hmm. You know. Depends who I fight. I will not fight like Junior Dos Santos for 1 million.
Yeah, Junior Dos Santos because the Doom freaking, also, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But like, no, man, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
Because right now it's not, it isn't for the money anymore. But like, if I'm going to get out of my couch and get out of my comfortable zone again and go out there and push my heart, you know, it's got to be worth it.
Yeah. I mean, also, you've been and you've been fighting for a very long time. You've been in a lot of wars, real wars. I know you've also been advocating for research to like brain damage, stuff like that for former fighters, you know, what the blows to the head do and stuff like that. It's also something that's in your mind, you know, you get out while you're still healthy, that you don't want to deteriorate when you get older.
No, not really. I never really worry about that too much. You got to be careful and you got to train smart. You know, we train very smart. We're not trying to, like I tell people, we got to help each other to get better, not to hurt each other and go in the gym injured. You know, like you go, guys train so hard, spar so hard at the time, you go in a fight with your ribs hurting, your leg is hurting from leg kicks, you know, your arm is hurting from blocking kicks.
Yeah.
You know, imagine like me and Alex going spar hard every day, like, bah, bah, blocking his kicks all the time. If I don't block, I'm out, right? But if I block, he still is going to be in the arms, that punishment in the arms. So that you got to be careful if you want to have a long career, you know, longevity, long, and preparation, conditioning. But I never really, because to be honest, man, life is, you can't prevent, right? Like I'm always telling you, like, I don't like a whole roller coaster, you know? But like, I don't think you can prevent things, you know? You can't, if it's there to happen, will happen, you know what I mean? So, because you see the things, like, these guys over there, they have, like, maybe one knockout and have, like, problems, you know, with the brain. And maybe these guys over there, they have, like, 50 knockouts,
no
man.
No problem, yeah.
No problems, you know? So, yeah, it's there to happen. And like, that goes with disease, you know, and everything. Some people eat so healthy, and some people, I always preach that I eat healthy. I like to eat organic. And sometimes I cheat. And when I cheat, I feel bad, you know. Oh, I'm not eating well. I'm eating too much sugar, you know. But for me, it's the way I live, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, day by day, they make me feel better.
Yeah.
Day by day. It's not like afraid that I'm going to get this, or I'm going to get that disease. Because I think you see that all the time. People, athletes, they get to. So. But yes, training, definitely. I feel like most of the injury, the fighters, is in the training room. So they got to prevent that in training.
Because the most damage happens during hard sparring, stuff like that. This is a funny thing. If you travel around the world, which you have, you know, you train in different cultures with different, you know, in Holland, we have a history of hard sparring, right? It's if you go to any Dutch gym, you go to the big gyms in Amsterdam, you go to sparring, it's like that fighting all the time.
Yeah. Well, boxers too, you know, they used to go very hard. Mm-hmm. I think it's coming down now. I think with, I feel like a lot of people have been training much smarter right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With all this videos, tech, you know, internet, and see the way the guys, he's been talking about, a lot of champ has been talking about, got to be very smart because it's too much injury, you know?
Yeah.
Too much injury, like injury before fight, you know, like $1 million fight or $5 million fight or $10 million, you know, there's like a lot in line.
Yeah.
And that's a lot in line for $10 million, but then you go with the guys that fight for $50,000, $100,000, yeah. They're not making much money, but they need their money.
They still take the same damage.
And they go hard, and to cancel that fight is tough. So.
Yeah, but I agree. I think with the difference between if you fight maybe twice or three times a year, opposed to sparring every week two, three times for 10 rounds or 12 or whatever, you know, you probably get a lot more damage there. Where do you stand on that? Because there's like this new wave, like Max Holloway and some other guys are like, we don't spar anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you stand on that? You think sparring should be part of your camp, your preparation, or you think at some point when you're so experienced like yourself, you've been in it for so many years, you know what to do, you don't really need the sparring anymore?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have success with their Robbie Lawler. Mm-hmm. You know, he was doing a lot of drills, he didn't spar much. I think sparring need for timing to get the conditioning, you know, so you be more confident in that condition. But like, like drills, hard drills, that can compensate that too. But we do a light spar, man. We do like we don't never go too crazy, but we do a good spar, you know. Alex is the kickboxer, so every once in a while, but Alex control everything, you know. Mm-hmm. He likes to go with boxers and he goes sometimes like hard sparring, man. I don't like it too much when he go and train in the boxing gym, but that's what he likes to do, you know. In camp we focus more in everything.
Yeah.
So but off camp, man, that guys go everywhere, he spar everywhere. And when he goes to boxing gym, they go pretty hard. But
yeah, he likes it.
He likes it.
I was one time with Alex.
It's good for him.
He was still with Glory. And in fight week, I don't know what remember which fight it was, but he was defending his belt, his Glory belt. And I think two or three days before the fight, he had a seminar here at a local gym. So he did the seminar for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And then after, he was like, I want to spar. So he's like in the gym to some guys, who wants to spar? And he gets in the ring. This is 2 days before his fight. And he spars everybody in the gym. I'm talking like 20 guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, and he's knocking guys out, right? He's punishing them and kicking guys out of the ring. But I'm dude, you have a fight in 2 days. What if, you know, you kick on a knee or you get an injury or you get, you know, accidents do happen, you know, right? Yeah. And we're like, man, he's such a different beast.
Yeah, man, he's like, he's different. He's his mentality. And like I say, he's the kind of guy that you see him doing those things, you know, and it never really happens to him. You know, like I say, sometimes preventing too much, it happens. It's like, it's tough to say, man. You know, I think you just got to be smart, got to be, but you can't take it too serious, you know?
Yeah.
Like Alex, he'll go in, he spy everybody, he goes in a class. He was, he go light with anybody, but you never know what I'm saying to him. It's like, never know. Then the guy come and trying to test you, then you're going to have to go hard. And maybe sometimes even when you kick, you know, you kick somebody hard, you kick an elbow, you know,
yeah.
And then you go in a fight with a hurt foot, you know. So, or punch somebody in the top of the head, you know, hurt your hand. It's like, it's not worth it, man. No. Going hard.
Talk about Alex. I mean, there's been a lot being said about the connection between you and people be saying that your resurgence, right? Like late in your career, becoming UFC champion, had a lot to do with you connecting with Alex at some point, started training with him, that you thrived off each other's energy. How do you see that by that connection and how you helped each other over the years?
Yeah, great connection, you know. The guy, very respectful, coming in there. You know, right away we connect, you know. We like the same things, same music. He's like, we talk, when I start talking, know to him, he's like, oh, man, I know. I used to go to this place. I used to know this. I used to, you know, oh, I like that music, this, this. And the way we training, the mentality that he had, you know, like, and I'm always like, right away, I got super impressed, you know, with his mindset, the way he learning things, and the way he his hard work. So right away, I was like, this guy's special, man. This guy's gonna, and he say you really wanna to fight in UFC at that time. You still have one fight in glory, but you say, yeah, well, eventually I wanna move and fight in UFC, man. And I say, if you go in UFC, man, you're gonna be champ.
Yeah.
You're gonna be champ. First, I say, in 2 years, 2.5 years, you're gonna be a champ. And then after you train for like 3 months, I start telling everybody, like, this guy will be champion in about a year. One year. And exactly 1 year after this his debut. Insane. In UFC, he become a champion.
Yeah, insane. I mean, that whole story of him, because he had the backstory with Adesanya would help him a lot, of course, to get there soon. But that whole story of him getting in the UFC, getting the middleweight title first, then going up to light heavyweight, avenging your loss with Jiří and getting the belt from him. Yeah. It's if you write it as a movie, people are like, no, man, it's too much fantasy. You don't believe it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. You know, the guy, he come, he's special. We have like a good connection, nothing crazy, you know, like, but like, thinking like, you know, I respect what he's saying. He say sometimes what we gonna do, how we're gonna plan this camp, how we're gonna do this, and it's doing good. We're doing good, and we're doing the right thing, and it's working.
Yeah. What you say you benefited most of training with him?
Man, a lot of things, you know. With force was like, I think visualizing, you know, like his vision for the fight, you know, in the fight game, his calmness. Like, I want to go, take him down, get him out of there, you know. And Alex is like, the fact the way he see the distance and envision the fight the most, and that helps me a lot and stay calm, stay relaxed, and take the time, punch it together with the, you know, fake, doing the fake, like the way he thinks, you know, he make the guy do the mistake, you know. Mm. So that was one of very important. It helped me a lot in my striking, in my ability to defend, you know. Later on in my fights was better defending, even though like those guys was faster than me, but I was able to go with a punch and defend them more, you know. But other than that, like how strong he is and how he's very calm, man. Even though he's in a bad situation, mm-hmm. a lot of times, like if I take him down, Ukayo take him down, and we are black belt in jiu-jitsu. And this is before, mm-hmm. not even now. This is like in the beginning, and we black belt in jiu-jitsu. And he knows he's like, oh, now I'm in the world, you know. And we thought he would freak out because that's what most people do.
Mm-hmm.
You take a striker down, you know, usually they start freaking out trying to get up.
Fish out of water, yeah.
Yeah, they start freaking out, they gotta get up. And Alex is very calm, you know. He was very calm, very relaxed, and that helps me to see it the way he sees things in learning, in listening, and that whole package, man. Very, very one dimension. Like he get that focus on the fight. He's only talk about it, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the things he learned from you, I don't know, maybe you know better, that have a more light approach to life sometimes, because you're always like very relaxed, you know. You focus when you need to be, but you know you're a cheerful guy, you know, most of the time. And while Alex, because I know him for some years. Before, you never see him smile. It was always like intimidating all the time, like very serious all the time. Now, sometimes you see him make jokes and smile. He opens up a little bit more. Yeah. I think maybe he gets that from you, no?
Maybe. I hope so. You know, but like, I think it's just the people, you know, in general, like he started understanding more the way everybody is, you know, in a way like, oh, I know, like you go with him right now, you treat him the same way, you know, that you treat him before. So he knows you for a long time more. So he get more comfortable with the people around him more, you know, and yeah, positive vibe, you know. He's a positive guy and he's going to attract positive people in his life. And yeah. You got to smile sometime. Yeah, I joke with him. I say, bro, you can smile, you know. I tell these kids all the time, like, you know, take a picture like this. I say, yeah, you can smile. You know, it's a family picture.
Yeah.
You can smile.
You don't have to intimidate. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I remember one time he was, we took him to a tattoo shop because we're doing a series on Glory YouTube for about fighters and their tattoos. So we took Alex when he was in Fight Week, I think in Chicago. And I'm standing there next to him, talking to him, but he doesn't speak English. So Plinio was there behind the camera to translate before. And he's talking, but while I'm talking and Plinio's translating, he's looking at me like this the whole time.
Yeah.
So I said to Plinio, I said, can you ask him if he's mad at me or something? Because he's staring me down. I'm getting a little bit intimidated here. So Plinio translate. And then the first time I see Alex smile because I said, no, sorry. This is just my face. I started to take the shit personal, man.
I don't think he realized that. Like, he really, like, he just look at you like, if I'm serious, like, listen to you, I've just been normal, right? Like this.
Yeah.
And he would be like, that's his normal face. He'd be like,
yeah, looking at me like I'm food.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, Alex funny, man. But, yeah, good heart guy, man. Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. That's why things are happening with him the way it is, you know. Great heart, helping his family, helping everybody that I can see, you know. A guy, a champion. Champion mentality. Like I say to people all the time, champions that I see, all these high-level people, and somehow, some way, they doing something good, man.
Yeah.
And that's why I really manifested something good. And most of the guys not even not talking about, you know, mm-hmm. don't tell about it, just helping the people without bragging about, you know, and that's what beautiful things happen in their life.
I would also say that you were early in life when you came, you were 19, you told me, when you came from Brazil to America first time, like big adventure, different country, different language, different everything. At some point you get acquainted with Chuck Liddell, and then at that point already a seasoned veteran, knows the ropes, been through it all. I think a very important figure in your life as a mentor. And you could say you are the same now for Alex down the line, right? There's some similarities there.
Yeah, I mean, what it is a friendship. Yes, I think the way, you know, Chuck at that time, now I look up to him, look up to being here. It's crazy because when you say that, because one, like, was the guy, right, that I was to be like him, and then Alex come, and the difference, right, that you put there.
Mm-hmm.
One was I was inspired on, now inspire Alex, but they very similar in the style, and the mentality, the way they think, you know, the way they training, very similar. The way, even the, a lot of ways, I say, like Chuck Liddell, like the mentality, the fight week, you know, even though Chuck was, but the relaxation, you know, Chuck was more like, going out, you know, he'd go out in the club, hang out with his friend, not drink or anything in the week of the fight, you know, but he would go out, he liked to hang out more. And Alex would stay more, also like to hang out a lot with his friends, and he go out too. He don't stay out late or anything, but he would go out and hang out with, hang out, man, like stay in the beach, you know, like, I say, Alex, you know, because me, when I come to a week of the fight, I was more like relaxed in the room, you know, relaxed the room, so tight, kind of wait, relax, because I thought it's going out, hanging out. I like it, but it gets me tired, you know? Those guys, they don't care, you know? They're very like, ah, I'm okay, man. I'm good, man.
How important was it, though? Because, like I said, when you were 19, you came to America and everything is like, just, I mean, it must be a shock, right? Like, so many different things. You're all by yourself. At some point, you had to go back because of the visa issues, everything. Meeting with like the coaches you met at the time and connecting with like a mentor like Chuck Liddell, how important has that been in your life and in for the rest of the development of your career?
Ah, oh, man, you know, I come over here, I mean, to America, I was 19, and I never trained, and I start training there. And I find out, because one of the first guys that I fought was from Chuck's camp, you know? And then John Hackman, Chuck come to my black room, and John Hackman say, hey, you can come train, if you come train, because they saw the heart, the determination, young, you know? Say, if you want to come train with us, we help you, you know? And he helped Chuck, you know, jiu-jitsu. Yeah, and then I, of course, accept the offer, went there, and that was amazing, man. Being around all the people that I met in my life, and I was just telling Melvin right now. Melvin's over there with Alex, you know. Melvin's one of the guys that is in our fight team training with us. I told him, man, appreciate every moment that you're there with Alex, knowing all these people, knowing all these coaches, all different mentality that you can see, and like Bruce Lee say, right? Mm-hmm. Pick everything that you is gonna work for you from each person, from each style, and use it, but learn everything. Which is not gonna work, you don't have to use it, but learn it anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So that was all experience for me to travel and meet all these people, Pedro Rizzo, Marco Ruas, you know, all the legends. Peter Arts, I trained with Peter Arts over here. This was the beginning. It was like, that was the greatest thing. That's what I'm saying, man. Like I say, later on, I think I retired in the right time because I was not enjoying, like now I'm enjoying again because I'm just as a coach, I come over here in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to enjoy my life.
Yeah.
If you tell me like the day that I go to that bed, all right, is this like, did I fight for money the way I love it every minute of the fight? Yeah. Mm. It's good to fight for the money because you want to have a job, you have family, right? But the joy, right? Train with Peter Arts, coming over here, Amsterdam for the first time, you know, and with Pedro Rizzo, Marco Rua, I mean, you name it, man, Chuck Liddell, you know, meeting Randy Couture, training with Matt Lindland, you know, that was like in the beginning, the Murilo Bustamante, all those guys.
Oh, legends, yeah.
All legends, yeah. You know.
Oh, why do you like fighting so much? Because I would say, if you think about the basic principle of fighting, you lock yourself inside a cage with another guy who wants to kill you, you want to kill him. If you think about it, it's crazy, right? If you think about it sensibly, nobody would do it. But still, a lot of people do it or they love watching it. What is it for you that you love so much about fighting? What is that feeling?
Well, it's competition, right? If you think about it, the kids in school, and I was a kid in school, you know, like know nothing about fighting, like 5, 6, 7, 10, you know, in middle school. So you go over there and you want to wrestle your friends. You want to wrestle, pin them, you know, grab them, get them in headlock, and then they have to say a word, you know, a word quitting, you know what I mean? Mate, like for the... blood sport, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
say mate.
Yeah.
But like, it's like fighting is there, you know? It's like that competition of like, I'm better than you, I'm gonna... And it's not like, it is, if you think about that, like I'm better, the ego, right? But it's the man's like, you know, I want to fight, I want to prove my technique, but it's friendship, you know? But like I'm stronger than you, I'm bigger than you, I'm better than you, and you say no, you're not. You know that was how I start. You know the Greco and everything. So in the fighting, yes, is that competition. I was born with that from early age. I just love martial arts. I just love fighting. I want to wrestle my friends. You know, and tell me I'm the strongest. I'm the strongest in my class.
You've done all that. You achieved all that, man. You beat everybody. You know, not everybody, but you know, almost everybody. You became the champion. You came to the top of the mountain, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that must be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we come later on. You like your mentality to change, right? You see the world like when it gets to the top of the mountain, it gets harder, right? So I tell people right now, in the beginning, it gets harder and harder and harder, and get less and less people in the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it gets closer to the top, less and less, less and less. That's why top 10, top 20, top 30, top 50, top 100, you know, because it goes up, it goes in number one, you know? And then you go pound for pound, you know. It's like Sylvester Stallone says, thin, the air is hard and is lonely. Because you have to have that discipline, the hardcore discipline to stay in the top, you know. And but when you see that mentality like that, you go in and like, all right, you got to have fun as you're doing and say, you know what, I'm just going to do my very best over here and stay in the top of the mountain, you know?
Yeah.
And I stayed there for 10 years in that top over there, trying to get to the number one that I still think in my weight class there was John Jones, you know? That was the fight that I'm proud of the fight, you know? And I think that was the fight could have happened again, you know, later on. But he was still today the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He's the pound for pound.
Yeah, insane. But
he's out there.
Like a once in a lifetime once in a lifetime talent, right? Like these kind of guys, every once a generation, those kind of guys come up. But even fighting guys like that, I mean, even though you didn't win the fight, I can imagine you learn a lot from those fights, being in there with those guys for 25 minutes, you know?
Yeah, you learn from the fight, you learn how to train, how to, that's what I like it too about the fight is like, I'm always, see, it's not the ego too, but that because you go in and it's like, how can I beat these guys? Go back to the drawing board that they say, right? So how can I beat these guys? And it's all like, I can't beat him, you know? I can't, you know? So you think like, when I lost to John Jones, I remember going back home in the car, you know, all beat up, all stitched up, you know? But like I was, and thinking happy, you know? Like, you know what, the fight is done, make my money, go home, go rest a little bit, go stay with my wife, go relax this week because the camp is over. Because you're always happy after a fight in a way because the camp is over, man. Especially when it's a hard camp, you know? Like, now I'm going back home. Because most of fighters, they leave home, right? They do camp. Like, I was doing Florida at that time. I'm going back home. I'm happy. But I was thinking, I can beat this guy. Go take a week off, relax, find a way again.
Yeah.
And go back and start training. And start training. And in the end, I was like, I couldn't have that anymore. I was like, hey, man, I think I'm getting too old for those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So I was not thinking like, man, if I, oh, man, I almost beat Jamal Hill, man. I think I can beat him, you know?
Yeah.
Was not that thinking anymore. You know, I was thinking like, yeah, man, that was tough. I think I'm getting too old, you know?
Yeah.
So my mind already is like, yeah, so I think it was time. Yeah. So you know what? I'm not going to fight anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's probably the wise decision. And like I said in the beginning of the podcast, it's a harder decision you make, right? Because for a lot of fighters, you know, it's always going to be, no, I can do better next time, you know, and I still have it in. And because the decline, it doesn't go from 100 to 50. It goes from 100 to 98. It goes slowly, right?
Yeah.
So you don't notice it right away. So you think you get back on top. At some point, you cannot reverse it. And again, I think that's the most difficult thing. That's why, like I said, I admire you got out on top.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very, very, very rare thing to do for fighters. Because most fighters, they take one fight too many.
Yeah.
Or two or three fight too many, right? Yesterday I was watching a documentary on Oscar De La Hoya, one of the greatest boxers of all time. And he did great things also outside the sport with his promotion and everything. But he was on top of his game for a long time. And then at some point, you know, it declined. And then he starts losing all the time. And he goes on a little bit too long, right? And but it's different.
Yeah, a lot of fighters, you know. I feel like a few fighters do that, and like, it happens, you know.
Yeah. But like Tony Ferguson, for instance,
they like it.
Yeah, Tony Ferguson at some point was on his crazy 12 fight winning streak, you know. The fight we never got to see Tony Ferguson against Khabib, you know, and then at some point he goes over the hill and now he starts losing, and now he's losing two guys that maybe 10 years ago they were not allowed to stand in the shadow, right?
For me,
as a fan, and I'm not to tell anybody to have to stop fighting because if they love it, if they make money, greater glory to them, do it. But for me as a fan, it hurts because I don't want to see that guy losing all the time, because I remember him when he was beating everybody up, right? When he was the best in the world, one of the best in the world, and it's difficult, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but think you gotta when you think in that way, like, okay, getting hurt, like, yes, it's tough to see guys that you like and getting knocked out, right? Like knocked out cold, right? And I see like that happens with Chalk, you know.
Yeah.
And that hurts my heart, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, yes, you're getting more nervous. And that's what I feel about my retirement was more like that too.
Mm.
I feel like people around me was getting more nervous than before. You know, like before in the beginning of my career, for example, my wife was nervous. My family would get nervous, of course, but nah. Man, it was different, you know? And then later on, it was more like, oh, man, you know, because they saw the fights, right? First of all, it's the soft. Glove is 42, you know. It's like they start getting nervous, you know. So you start getting nervous for guys, they start losing a lot, especially by knockout. So people, your friends, you know, mm-hmm. your friend is fighting all the time. You're kind of like, oh, man, he's fighting again. Mm-hmm. I hope he do good, you know. But longer than the end of the day, it's like Tony Ferguson, you know, like Clay Guida, you know. Yeah, I think Clay Guida have like 4 1-time 5-fight winning streak, losing streak, you know, come back up. But they, if they love what they're doing mm-hmm. and they go over there and they're healthy doing and training and they enjoy it, you know, and they're not doing that because it's sad the two ways because you got to see the background, why they're doing, you know. The guy's just loving, that's what he's doing. He's making money. He's entertaining people because people love to watch like guys like that, Clay Guida, Tony Ferguson, you know, even myself, I go over there, Chuck, like whoever, man. But it would be sad if they maybe not manage the money or they be fighting for money or this or that, you know. That would be sad, you know. Yeah. That's like, gotta, if you see why, you know.
Yeah.
See, like, a lot of the times is how you doing, how you thinking, you know. And of course, getting knocked out all the time.
Not good.
Not good. Sometimes this goes, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's time to go to stop because some people are born with chin, some don't have no chin, and some lose the chin later.
Over years, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some never, like George Foreman, you know, never lose a chin. Fight to like 50 years old.
Crazy.
Get knocked out. Champion. Yeah, he got knocked out before, he got hit before, but he never loses,
no,
you know?
No.
So, but like you gotta respect it. Hey man, I can't take a shot like I used to anymore, you know?
No. Ask you a personal question, and maybe you talked about it before. The moment in the fight with Yuri, the end of the fight, you're winning the fight, and you think maybe you go for the takedown, and you end up, you lose the fight. Yeah, how many times in your mind did you replay that moment? I should have done that different. Because I remember just being a fan of yours, I was watching it, and it's like one of the greatest fights ever. One of my top 5 favorite fights of all time, 100%. And it was crazy going back and forth, but you were winning the fight. And when you did that, I was like, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? Sitting in front of the TV, what are you doing?
The tap was like, oh man, why did I let the arm slide there? Because that was like a very, it was a moment of sleep, man. Mm. It's a moment that like we both tired. I felt he was tired and I just stayed in that position like, you know, I'm just going to see what he's going to do with it. He's going to try to put the hooks in, something like that, I think. And I never thought he would go in right there because it's a position that is hard to get, you know. And boom, right away he goes, and he goes out quick, and I tried to roll him over, and it was already the real Nick was too fast, you know, was too fast. And that was like, that moment played my head a little bit like, how could I do different there on that moment, you know? I could have defended. Should I roll and put my guard? I shouldn't stand up. But like, that takedown, that guillotine that was instinct, man. I saw he was hurt. I saw the neck.
Yeah.
I have a good guillotine and I went for it. That was an instinct, you know, and it's something that I do. It wasn't like a...
That's all right.
It wasn't like a striker would go for a submission, you know?
That's
something that I do. So yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
I didn't that moment there I played my head a little bit, like I say, in the back there, but I never really
bothered you too much.
Good. I don't think
I'm happy for that. But honestly, it bothered me a little bit. So like, man, what are you doing? For me, I had to fight in the pocket. But it was really one of the greatest fights ever. In your long career, over 20 years, when were you the most happy?
My career is gonna be doing in the title. My career, yes, definitely. A lot of moments, man, life situation is changing over, I think, over the time with like how we see things, right? Like, I think I'm very happy where I am right now with the mindset that I have with everything that's going on and everything that happens in my life. And I kind of like, oh man, understanding, this is amazing, you know? But yeah, my career, yeah, definitely. When I got that belt, man.
Yeah, emotional moment, right? You remember that feeling when it happened?
Man, yeah, it's like, that more is, if I go back here, pa, when I lift, you know, looking, it was just like going through my head, like, oh shit, man, I'm a UFC world champion, you know. And I look around, you know, and it was,
great
moment.
Was it also in that moment, I don't know, maybe did you see the whole story of your life? I mean, you dealt with a lot of adversity, like we said already, coming here when you're 19, having to go back to Brazil and, you know, being an illegal immigrant in the beginning and getting to the title fight, losing the title fight, you know, having moments of doubt maybe in your career, making the resurgence, coming back up, you know, so many, many things happened during that. You had a long career and a lot of things happened in your life, man. And in that moment, does it come all together?
Yeah, it's exactly what you say, except you go 10 times faster in your mind, right? That's why you get emotion, because you talking with the person over here, but you're going like, you remember what your grandfather told you someday, you know? And you remember like when John Heckman told me like I was gonna be a champion, and when Chuck Sale was gonna be a champion, when Mike Tyson walked in the ring in the cage another day and say, "You'll be a champion one day, man." And all of that is like, yeah, they all say that, and here I am.
Yeah,
you know,
I made it.
Yeah, accomplished.
Yeah, amazing, man. If you could give get 19 year old Glover coming to America by himself, big adventure, don't know what's going to happen. Looking back now, 43-year-old Glover, 44-year-old Glover, with everything you know now, what advice would you give to a 19-year-old Glover?
Well, Glover there? Ah, man. Say, read the book, The Power of Now.
I don't know.
Understand that book, you know, and I'll say, yeah, and focus more. And from that book, I can say read more books, you know. Dave Gaga wasn't around at the time, you know, but that's what I would say, man. Read that book, because that book helps my focus. From that book, I read another so many different books and change my vision. And I believe that I would become a champion when I was 42 because of my understanding in the world different, you know, and the way things work, the way things are manifested, you know. Because when you can understand it, the way to let it go, to let it, you know, whatever, man, you're going to be a champion or not, it doesn't matter, first of all, it doesn't matter because that's nothing, you know, who are you and who we are is not what we accomplish, is nothing, we just who we are, you know, and if you have to like him, if I win the title, he's going to like me. If I win the title, he's not going to like me. It doesn't matter, you know? It's like, who cares, right? Like, and if I win the title, he don't like me. That don't matter,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, then when you let those things go, then, yeah, you just do it, you know? You just do it, and he's like, hey, man, this is it. I'm just going to fight. It's another fight. And so when I let those things go, I become a champion. So I learn so much how manifestation and everything else, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah. So perfect. I would say that. Read that book. So pay attention. And any 19 years old should read that book, because if you deal with any
adversity, yeah,
anything, man, that book is money.
Power of Now.
Power of
okay,
Now.
Okay, I'm going to read it tonight.
Yeah.
I will. I don't know it. I have two more things. First of all, you're here also in Amsterdam, part of it to coach Usyk, to corner Usyk in his LFL title fight. So by the time we publish the podcast, the fight will already have been. So let's hope you go home back with another champion in your gym. But I think the story of Usyk and Alex, also a remarkable story, right? Fighting each other three times in kickboxing, now becoming friends, training partners, being part of the Glover Teixeira family, you know. Yeah. You coming here, cornering him. How is it working with him, and how does he fit into your philosophy and everything?
Usyk, man, first of all, that person that he is, you know, the guy is like again, you know, this is what I talk to you, Power of Now, you know, vibration, thing, situation. Usyk is in the same thing, man, like a great guy, but like, and George would talk about me is like how good this guy was, you know, like, Glover, you got to see this guy, man. He learned some ground. He's going to be next level champ, man. And Usyk has everything under his belt to be a champion, man, yeah. Because he's very athletic. He's very good, very smart fighter. You know, he have the eyes and the hard worker. He's the guy. He's the kind of guy that you have to bring him down all the time, because he always go hard. Like, not hard, I'm saying. He trained in my gym a lot, and he trained with everybody. He trained with the guys that if he wants, he will knock the guys out in 1 minute. But he's not go hard like that. I'm saying, like, he always training hard. So if you say, like, let's drill a little bit jiu-jitsu, he go
full intensity,
go hard.
Yeah,
he likes to work hard, man. And, yeah, put a lot of potential, a lot of determination. I put a lot of faith that he's gonna be, you know, he's gonna be a top, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's gonna make it to the UFC.
He's gonna be in the top. He's gonna be top for, like, one guy told me, he said, you're gonna be in UFC, Glover, and you're not gonna be in UFC. You're gonna be top five in a couple years in UFC. You're gonna be top five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, champion, but you're gonna be top five for a long time. And that's what I say. Usually the potential that he has is to be top five in next few years.
Yeah, in the UFC?
Oh, yeah, the world, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
whatever.
Okay, yeah.
UFC, I'd say top five of the world.
Top five of the world, okay, we're looking forward. Well, I love Usyk. I know Usyk for a long time, also from kickboxing background. And like I said, him and Alex connecting on this way, I think also one of the beautiful things in this sport, right? Going from foes to friends and training partners, and also helping each other get it to the next level, right? I think that's a beautiful thing about the sport, because that's all about ego, right? You have to put your ego aside in order to do that, because you see he beat Alex once, but he lost twice against him.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to go in there and train with him and be okay, and try to learn with him, you have to be humble. You have to put your ego aside, which I think speaks for his character, you know?
Yeah. No, he's a... Him and Alex, man, he's like right away, they train good, they train smart. He's got to see, it's beautiful watch him training, you know? Mm-hmm. Like the high level technique, the speed, and Alex is very, very smart, very quick. And Alex come down and go like, oh man, Usyk, man, Usyk is dangerous, man. He's global. I got to be sharp when I come over here with this guy. This guy helped me a lot, and they love each other, yeah, man. And Usyk is definitely championship material, man. Championship level, man. We gotta work and more his everything, you know, in his defense and his ground stuff. And definitely, you know, champion good. Material there.
Good. Man. So we have another Dutch guy in UFC.
No That's doubt.
What we, yeah,
no
but
doubt.
We like that. My final thing I want to ask you, obviously not going to tell me what Alex's next fight, whatever next move is going to be. Maybe we don't even know. He's been flirting lately a little bit, maybe with going up to heavyweight, which would like only add to the already legendary story to get like belts in three different weight classes. You think he's going to do it or you think you should do it?
I mean, we got whatever, you know, that's his managed thing. Like, to be honest, I think Alex can fight in any weight class. Mm. You know, he's like, he's confident and he's like, and he's good. I think for heavyweight, maybe some more time, huh? Because he needs to put the, he needs to eat a steak and put some weight. Just
the Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah. But Alex is big. He's big. You know, his hand is bigger than any heavyweight out there, you know. And he's just got to put like some weight in there, you know. Can you imagine Alex at 240 pounds? Holy shit.
That should be no problem. I know he likes to eat, right?
Oh,
so should
he
be no loves
it. It should be no problem. Believe me, it will be no problem.
Yeah, but realistically, so he needs to build the frame a little bit. And realistically speaking, maybe in like in 2 years, something you should do that? Not right away now, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I say, it all depends, like with the man they say, where the fights, where super fights going to be, you know, and where the money is, you know, where the big fights is, I think he should take it because you got to take advantage of the being what be one of the best in the world, like you say, top of the... Of the mountain right now.
Yeah, because he was flirting a little bit. A little bit with Tom Aspinall, right? Saying maybe he should fight him. And he's now the interim champion of the heavyweights. Would that be a good fight? Hypothetically speaking?
Yeah, that'd be a good fight, man. You know, Alex Aspinall is strike and move a lot. And Aspinall probably going to try to take him down, you know. And Alex is, it would be a good fight for Alex too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Alex, like I say, put Alex like give him 6 months to adjust his body.
Yeah.
And then in that weight class, he's the guy is a monster, man. Yeah. He is that's why I'm telling you, that's why he's doing what he's doing in the world. Yeah. People's not, you know, keep saying, oh, Alex, they not put him in the top five of like, he's one of the best martial artists, you know, in the history, man. To go down through history.
Hands
down. Seven-time glory champion. Like, as a Brazilian, I wish they give him more credit, you know.
Yeah.
And the 1 year, he become a double champion for UFC, you know, and incredible what he's done, you know.
It's incredible. I think I agree. I think, you know, if you look at his resume, it's probably one of the most... storied and lauded resumes in all of combat sports.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Born to fight, man.
Yeah, like yourself.
Yeah,
like yourself. Yeah, man. I want to thank you for being here. You're one of the all-time great guys. One of the all-time my favorite stories in all of combat sports. Everything around it, and it was a pleasure and an honor to have you here.
Man, thank you.
And I hope you enjoy. You stay in Amsterdam, in the beautiful city of Amsterdam. I sure you will.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, man, I love this city. It's one of my favorite places to come, you know, and of course we're going to enjoy here.
Good.
Thank you.
We're always going to welcome you. Of course, I'm not going to leave you, get you leave empty-handed. We have the official Vechtersbazen t-shirt for you. Lenny McLean, I don't know if you know his story. Lenny McLean was a British bare-knuckle boxer, unlicensed boxer, and also
bare-knuckle before the gloves.
Yeah, and like in the 70s, 80s.
Oh, okay.
He was a little bit of an underground, underworld figure in London. So this is him. So I think you'll like him.
All right.
Your kind of guy, I
thank
think.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, my friend.
Good having you, my friend. All the best to you.
Appreciate it.
Jullie allemaal weer bedankt voor het kijken of het luisteren. Je weet, we zijn op alle platforms te vinden. Vergeet niet te liken, te delen en te abonneren. En dan zijn we de volgende week weer. Woes!